This is KYUK Public Radio for the Yukon-Kuskokwim Delta. I'm Evan Erickson. A man shot by a Bethel police officer after allegedly approaching officers with a knife has been arrested and charged with felony assault. Here's a report. The charges stem from the man's alleged aggression toward a community service officer and Bethel police officer in an altercation in the early morning hours of March 25th. According to charging documents, the altercation ended when Bethel police officer Sierra Pruitt shot 53-year-old Wassily Larson twice in the arm after Larson allegedly lunged at her with a knife. Larson was medevaced to Anchorage. Pruitt was put on paid administrative leave pending an external investigation into the incident by the Alaska Bureau of Investigations. Pruitt allegedly first made contact with Larson in the hours leading up to the incident when he was found standing in the middle of a roadway near the center of town. Charging documents say Larson was transported in an ambulance to the hospital out of concerns for his safety. After Larson allegedly refused treatment at the hospital, Pruitt made contact with Larson a second time with the intention of transporting him to the local jail for a, quote, sleep-off. Pruitt was unable to detain Larson, who fled on foot, documents say. A Bethel community service officer located Larson in the roadway and attempted to speak with him, at which point Larson allegedly drew a knife and began waving it around. Charging documents say the community service officer reacted by aiming a taser at Larson. When Pruitt later arrived at the scene and drew her firearm on Larson, she alleged in a recorded interview that Larson lunged at her with the knife and she shot him. Bethel Director of Public Safety Jeffrey Kirkham said Tuesday that Pruitt would not face disciplinary action based on the results of the state's investigation. He said the Bethel Police Department is still conducting its own internal investigation. Larson has been charged with 2 counts of felony third-degree assault. A preliminary hearing in his case is set for April 14th in Bethel Court. If you follow Mary Peltola on social media, maybe you've noticed that the former Alaska Congresswoman is talking about more than fish, family, and freedom as she runs for U.S. Senate. Many of her posts are about crooked politicians feathering their own nests and an elite class that's rigging the system against regular people. Alaska Public Media Washington correspondent Liz Ruskin joined Alaska News Nightly host Casey Grove to provide some context for this line of messaging.
Liz, this was the topic of your Alaska at Large newsletter today. Peltola is far from the only candidate claiming the system is rigged and accusing DC politicians of self-dealing. But why did you think her messaging was noteworthy?
You're right that this is right in line with what several Democratic challengers are saying in other Senate races, but it seemed like it was new for Peltola. I don't remember her focusing on it in her previous 3 congressional campaigns, so I asked her where this was coming from for her. She said she saw things during her 2+ years in the U.S. House, and now that she's had a year to reflect, she says lawmakers are too focused on their stock portfolios. Here's part of what she said.
I thought that there were protections that prevented self-dealing and self-enriching. I was quite surprised to find out that it was even a discussion whether it should be done and that there was a move afoot to prohibit that legislation from going forward to ban stock trading.
Okay, so she's talking about banning Congress members from trading in stocks. What else?
She's endorsing a slate of reforms to battle dark money in politics. Those things and her language about corrupt elites and billionaires rigging the system against regular people, those sound very progressive populist, kind of Bernie Sanders or Elizabeth Warren. But other parts, like her call for term limits, that is more associated with right-wing populism, like former Speaker Newt Gingrich and the Tea Party.
Yeah. So you're saying that this approach, running against the system and against DC incumbents, that appeals to a broad swath of voters?
Yes. Peltola is espousing things that cut across party lines. She's not alienating Trump supporters by attacking, say, the SAVE Act, which is voting reform President Trump really wants. And it's also broadly popular with his supporters. I haven't seen any posts about the SAVE Act.
Gotcha. Well, Liz, when she's talking about self-dealing DC politicians, is that Peltola taking aim at the incumbent in the race, that's Senator Dan Sullivan?
Not directly. And I should say, I haven't seen any evidence that Sullivan is taking action in office, you know, to enrich himself. But here's what she said when I asked her if she was aiming this at Sullivan.
I think it's a systemic problem. Just the fact that half of the current sitting members of Congress are millionaires or billionaires is surprising to me. And certainly the incumbent is no different. He is right there with that pack of folks who has benefited substantially. His personal wealth has quadrupled in his two terms in office.
Casey, that last part, that can't be precisely fact-checked because the financial disclosure requirements aren't very precise. But quadrupling in value over 12 years, that would not surprise me. It sounds like a lot, but if you invested in a broad-based mutual fund when Sullivan was sworn in, you'd have roughly quadrupled your money, too. But that does take capital to start with, and Sullivan had some. He went to Harvard. He's from a wealthy family. So if you're making an anti-elite argument, there you go. And Peltola is coupling it with the Democratic affordability argument and saying Sullivan supports Trump policies that have raised the cost of health care.
And then, Liz, did I see a poll recently that showed Mary Peltola ahead in the U.S. Senate race?
Right. Alaska Survey Research is one of the few that makes polls in the race public. It has her 5 percentage points ahead. Turnout, of course, is key, especially in a midterm. And since Senator Sullivan is staying close to President Trump, I think the big factor is going to be how voters feel about Trump come Election Day.
That was Alaska Public Media Washington correspondent Liz Ruskin speaking with Alaska News Nightly host Casey Grove. Brushkana Creek-based musher Jesse Holmes has back-to-back wins in the Iditarod Trail sled dog race. And now he's got a 4-win streak in the challenging Kobuk 440. KOTZ's Desiree Hagen caught Holmes' finish in Kotzebue on Easter Sunday.
It's about 6 a.m., just before dawn. Overhead, a faint line of aurora cuts the sky in half. And on the sea ice, 44-year-old Jesse Holmes and his team of 8 dogs are about to cross the finish line. This is Holmes' 4th consecutive Kobuk 440 win and 5th overall.
The trail conditions were excellent. You know, the last few years have been pretty slow going and tough going, and it was a really nice trail.
The 400-mile race runs through 6 northwest Arctic villages, looping out and back to Kotzebue. Holmes says the sun shone and temperatures warmed. Unlike last year, when mushers endured ground storms, whiteout conditions, sub-zero temperatures, and variable trail conditions. Holmes' lead was small. Kotzebue musher Kevin Hansen finished about 20 minutes later. The 35-year-old was about 10 miles behind for most of the race. Holmes said it kept him on his toes.
This is the first time I won this race without taking extra rest, you know, in the last 4 years. So I think that's a real accolade to Kevin. He actually pushed me.
Hansen, an Iditarod rookie this year and now 7-time 440 finisher, said this race was his personal best.
Just shows that we're improving and our team is we're strong, and you know, we're right there running with Jesse Holmes, who 2-time Iditarod champ, and so we're feeling pretty good about it.
It was over 6 hours before the next musher, Calvin Daugherty, would make it back to Kotzebue for a 3rd-place finish. The 23-year-old rookie musher from Sterling and his father, who was also in the race, were both running teams from Iditarod champion Mitch Seavey's kennel. Overall, 9 mushers finished, 2 scratched, both at the Selawik checkpoint. Veteran musher Jody Potts-Joseph from Eagle River said her dogs were still recovering from kennel cough. Jessie Downey, another veteran from Willow, said she decided to withdraw because her team wasn't eating. The race this year was held in honor of musher Roger Northam, a founder and its first champion in 1988. Northam was a Vietnam vet, bush pilot, and gold miner who ran the Iditarod four times. Chad Northam, Roger's son, said it was a great honor.
He just passed away a few months ago, and it means a lot. He was a big part of this race in the beginning, helped set it up and taking place and setting records, and we're really proud of everything he's done.
Back on April 2nd, Roger's granddaughter, 14-year-old Naomi Northam, dropped the flag to officially start the race.
I'm really grateful that I got to help start the race in honor of him. He's a very big role model in all of our lives, and it was just a great thing to do.
More honors were announced at the Mushers Banquet after the race. Rookie Jennifer Nelson was the Red Lantern finisher. Race veterinarians picked Kevin Hansen for the Humanitarian Award for exceptional dog care. And the Mushers voted fourth place finisher Christy Barrington to win the Louis Nelson Senior Sportsmanship Award. This year, the race purse was $67,500. Cobuck 440 winner Jesse Holmes earned $14,000 and, like all the other Mushers, took home an assortment of handmade items from village checkpoints along the race route. In Kotzebue, I'm Desiree Hagen.
This is KYUK News. I'm Evan Erickson. Koyana for listening. Please share your news tips, comments, or suggestions. You can email us at news@kyuk.org or message us on Facebook. And stay tuned for Yoktun Ganumshit coming up.